from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92 on the game from the Northern Kia Studios. John Fricke with you at 404-726-0929. It is a Saturday, going to be hot out there, hot. And we have a lot to talk about. Braves tonight against the Padres, 7:15 our time, so an afternoon game at Petco Park. Big win for the Braves yesterday, 6-1, that Marcell Ozuna hit two home runs in. Dude is carrying this team by himself, isn't he? And with that, Marcell Ozuna went to 77 RBI. RBIs, RSBI. Who the hell knows? 77 of them things, and that is a record for an Atlanta Braves record for the most RBIs. I'll go RBIs. RBIs before the All-Star game. Most ever in Atlanta Braves history, Marcell Ozuna this year. 26 home runs, 77 RBIs, leads the National League. I mean, really had a great year. Boy, I tell you what, because he's on pace for like 140 plus RBIs. You know, I mean, he's a 45, like a 45-145 kind of season. My God. He's doing it all by himself. We'll get more into that tomorrow here. But again, Lopez on the mound tonight. Braves currently 8.5 back of the Phillies. Four games now up in the wild card as they take on the Padres tonight, heading to the Home Run Derby, which, of course, will be Monday, and that will involve Marcell Ozuna. United tonight against CF Montreal. Our coverage begins at 6:30 pregame with Garrett Nabe, and Mike Connie is in Canada, AO, up at Quebec, and he's there with Jason, and they'll have call the game live on your home with the Five Stripes Sports Radio 92 on the game. Mentioned also today, the Baltimore Ravens rookies report to camp. They are the first rookies to report to camp. It's a minor little point, except it indicates the doors are open at one NFL camp. We are 11 days away from the Falcons camp at Flowery Branch, which begins on the 24th. Again, a reminder here, I know we've talked about it a lot, but for the benefit of those who haven't heard yet, no fans at Flowery Branch for camp this year. No fans. Because of all the construction that's going on up there, they decided it was just safer. However, there will be two open practices, one at Secunder High and another at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And as we get close to those in the next couple of weeks, we'll certainly pass it along to you about exactly how you can attend those. And you're welcome to attend both those open practices. So there'll be two of those. And a reminder as well that since we are the flagship of the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network, we are going to have extensive coverage of training camp from the beginning of camp, the opening day on the 24th, all the way through the end of camp from Flowery Branch. So even though the fans aren't there, all the shows are still going to be there. All the players, all the coaches, all the writers, all the news, all the everything live every single day in and around training camp on Sports Radio 92 on the game. Now, this week in the NFL, mentioned the Ravens today. And this week, this is how fast it's all going to happen. This week, rookies start reporting and start their camps for the Chiefs, the Broncos, the Packers, the Chargers, the Dolphins, the Patriots, the Swampers, the Giants, the Jets, the Niners, the Seahawks, the Commanders, and the Bears. All right? The Bears. Now, the Texans on this Wednesday, the Houston Texans, are going to open their full training camp. Rookies and veterans this Wednesday. So that's this week. So this week we got the All-Star game. We have the first full training camp opening on Wednesday. That's the Houston Texans. They're playing in the Hall of Fame game, which is what, 19 days away. So, I mean, we are right on knocking on the door of the beginning of the NFL season. It's here today. Today we're talking, and we'll get more into that tomorrow. As I mentioned, we'll talk more about the Braves, kind of a halfway look at the Braves as they head to the All-Star break, you know, kind of where they stand. You're welcome to talk about the Braves, though, today at 404-726-0929. And tomorrow we'll get into a lot of the Falcons. Again, you're welcome to talk about the Falcons today. I say that only because I don't want people to say, Roy, I really want to talk about the Falcons, and I can't listen tomorrow because of this and this and that. You're always welcome to come. You're always welcome to come in and talk about those teams. I'm just kind of directing you into two ways today, two things that I really want to talk about. I want to react to what we saw, or overreact to what we saw in a Summer League game of the Atlanta Hawks, where the number one pick of the draft, Zachary Risacher, was attacking the basket with both hands, with explosive moves, making great passes, knocking down threes, and we all went, okay, dude's got game. We're seeing it now, and okay, and now granted, it's just Summer League. I also saw Nico Juricic make some passes, and I went, well, okay, I see maybe why they moved in and traded A.J. Griffin. They may have won that trade. And this is set against the fact that, according to Mark Stein, who's one of the insiders in the NBA, right, Shams and Woj and Mark Stein. Mark Stein says the Hawks have been trying to trade Clint Capella for more than a year. But now, because they got Larry Nance Jr. in the trade with the Pelicans, the teams really like Larry Nance Jr. And so apparently they're tying Clint, who's got an expiring contract, to Larry Nance Jr. And that there's more than one team that's expressed interest in Larry Nance Jr. So if the Hawks were to trade, say, a package of Clint and Larry Nance Jr., I don't know what they would get in return, but it might be a pretty good player. Okay? So now you kind of step back and go, well, that, except for the fact the GM come out this week and say, when he was asked directly by Channel 2, hey, what about Trae Young on the roster? And he kind of went, and I was like, oh my God, Landry, that's a simple ad. Yes. Yes, Trey's good. Trey's the guy. He's our guy. He's our star. He's there. Let's dispense with this. Trey. I know that there's been everybody wants to. No, he's here. That's not what he said. He said we value Trey like we value DeJounte. Well, you didn't really value DeJounte so much. You traded him to New Orleans. That's the value you put on DeJounte. So is that what you're saying to me? That's why we had this big discussion on Wednesday night. Do you value Trey the same way you value? You mean, as in trading for future assets? Because that's what we all took away from it. And whether the Hawks intended for it or not, that's the takeaway, whether you like it or not. So Hawks are certainly a discussion for today. The other big discussion is what happened up in Athens. The SEC Media Days start on Monday, okay? Kirby Smart's going to speak on Tuesday. Now, there's a ton of storylines, and I'll get into a few of the storylines in the SEC Media Days that are going to be coming up. We'll do that in this hour. But we have to begin with what's going on in Athens. In the after the celebration of the second title and what happened in the horrific fatal wreck that night of Devin Willock and Chandler LaCroix, the Georgia Bulldogs have had repeated, almost nonstop, it seems, nonstop's probably a poor choice of words about guys going too fast, incidents of players driving too fast and getting into trouble and then doing stuff like, all right, this week there were three players. Smile Munden, DeMello Jones, and Bo Hewley. All right, so Munden is in his Charger, and he's driving down Broad Street, for crying out loud. I mean, okay, I mean, we're not out in the boonies racing. He's racing a Porsche that DeMello Jones, who's a UGA freshman's in, okay? So they're racing on Broad Street. And they get popped. Again, if you go out into the middle of nowhere if you're going to do that. But don't even do it to start with. Then Bo Hewley, this is what happens. He's in his Chrysler 300. He's got the five-star new defensive back, Ellis Robinson, in the car alongside him. He's going so fast that he misses a turn, slams into a curb, jumps the curb, blows a tire off his right tire, his right front tire, that goes bouncing away down the street, clips it, takes out signs. I mean, thankfully, nobody's hurt in any of these incidents, but they're ongoing and they're never stopping. Some message is not getting through to the players at Georgia about the fact that, A, you could die, because it's happened, unfortunately, sadly, to UGA. And B, you're going to get caught. It's Athens, for crying out loud. You're on Broad Street. Which part of... What? What do you think? Do you think the Athens cops are like tuned into what you guys might be doing? I don't really understand what's going on, that they haven't been able to get a handle on this. Because the only thing I can think is, because Kirby's going to be asked about it on Tuesday. He cannot just wave his hand. He can't just say we're handling it. That's not good enough. Look, I have great, profound respect for Kirby Smart as a coach. He is the number one coach in the nation. He probably should have won a third straight national title last year. He's favored to win a third national title this year. He's built a powerhouse program. He's done what always was supposed to be happening at Georgia, and he's actually done it better than I expected anybody would. And so I have great respect for Kirby as a coach. He's done remarkable things. And I like the guy, too. He's got a hole in his swing here. He's got to get a hold of this, and he's got to get a hold of it somehow, some way. And I'm trying to figure out how that is. But he's going to have to also do it not just internally. He can't just wave it off and say, we'll handle it internally. Because he said that before, and obviously you're not. So you're going to handle it not only internally, but externally. Because you got to let us know, because you're going to be asked about it. If Kirby Smart, when he's asked about this, and he will be on Tuesday, says, we got to handle on this, we're going to handle it internally, next question. That's not good enough. I'm sorry. It's just not. He may do it. And he may just say, I'm Kirby Smart, I don't care what you think. But that's just not good enough. When you have a problem like this, especially coming up, you know, if the tragedy had never happened on the championship night, that might be one thing. But this is an against a double tragedy where, by the way, Devin Willick's family sued University of Georgia, rightfully so. I mean, you're looking at potential more lawsuits unless you get a... So this is a money issue, not just a recruit issue, not just a... By the way, potentially an injury or, sadly, unfortunately, a fatal issue. You got to get a hold of this, Kirby. And I think, you know, when you say you're handling it internally, I think you almost are going to have to get to a point where you look at somebody like Munden or Jones or Hewley and you say, they're off the... And I know that they don't want to do that because they're afraid of that, because they're afraid that if players think, oh, wait, if I speed and get caught speeding, you're going to kick me off the team. I don't want to come there. I understand that players have power. That was proven with Ollie Gordon this week, that players have power. I understand that. But you also have to lay down the law at some point, too. Because at what risk? Because if you don't get a handle on this, someone else is going to die. And at that point, that's going to be, how is it not on you, Kirby? How is it not on you? Because you couldn't get out. Well, it's not on me. Like, you can't do what people do in their off time. That's correct. But if the penalties are so punitive, if the message has gotten through, and if you do it publicly, and they sort of semi-did it publicly a little bit, I should give them a little bit of credit. There was, you know, the first go-round of this, which was all those incidents after Willick and Chandler, LaCroix. There was some public part of this, too, coming out of Athens, so that's fair enough. But he's going to have to do it again. And but I don't know. I don't know what the answer to this is. You know, you're not going to stop young men from buying hot cars and driving fast. And again, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I got to be an anchor at CNN when I was 21 years old. I went out and bought brand new Mustang. And, yeah, I wasn't exactly going 55. I wasn't driving the Sammy Hagar, okay? I'm just saying. I'm being forthright here, okay? But I didn't have any... My responsibilities were not to teammates or to university. My responsibilities were to me and me alone and anybody else that I might have put in danger at times when I was driving a little bit too fast. And I'm, okay, I got to slow this down. And then, of course, I wrecked my Mustang, and thankfully nobody got hurt. And I went, all right, okay. Because I love that car. But so I had to pay a price, too. But that was my own damn fault. Let's go to Frank here. Frank's on with John. Hey, Frank, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing, John?
Good, man.
Hey, John, can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, so listen, regarding the Hawks, I mean, I think it is what it is. People need to realize that ever since last year, they had decided to blow this team up and – with Trae Young, I guess they need to wait until his contract becomes more favorable, because right now it's just too much money on it. But in my opinion, the Hawks are pretty much taking the Oklahoma City route They're going to try to get as many draft picks as they can, and they're going to try and just rebuild this team. So, I mean, it's a rebuild. They don't want to say it, but
I mean, yeah, they don't want to say it.
I mean,
but
so smart people know.
Well, of course it is. Well, Frank, of course it is. I mean, you'd have to be an idiot not to see that it isn't. Of course, it's a rebuild.
Right, because I mean, at least the Falcons, they went out and got Kirk Cousins because they said we want to win now. But the Hawks, they're clearly trying to get rid of their players and rebuild through the draft. And as far as the whole UGA situation, I guess I'm old school. I'm like, you need to hold some of these parents accountable. I'm like, did you say a freshman had a darn Porsche? Come on now. I'm like, I didn't even have a darn car. I mean, then when I eventually got one, it was like a 87 Sunbird or something. I'm like, you have a Porsche and you're racing it? I mean, no, this was back in the mid-90s. I was at Georgia Southern.
I had a 75 Pinto. I had a 75 exploding Pinto.
I mean, we're not talking about used cars. We're talking about, I mean, kids today are just too darn privileged. And now they're out there racing, you know, they think they're rich or whatever. It's like they're adults with no accountability. And now you're putting it all on the football coach. Like, here you go. So, I mean, these are young players. We're not talking about a senior that's been with the coach. We're talking about a freshman. And I guess Kirby Smart's responsibility is to cut these guys because you got more than enough talent at UGA.
Yeah, I know. Reload. I mean, right. I mean, there's got to be some accountability here, right?
Which, yeah.
I appreciate it. Thanks,
cut
Frank.
The NIL deals.
Do a break here. Yeah, right. NIL. It goes to a bigger picture, too. I appreciate it, Frank. I just was up against the clock here. Goes to a bigger picture, too, about what the future of college athletics is going to look like. Because it's going to change again, and I don't want to get really down deep into the weeds here. But one of the good things for those of you who are against players being paid directly by the school, that will involve, if they do, the good news is, in that regard, is it will involve contracts. So once you start signing contracts, you are bound by the terms of the contract. So you would be in, not just in violation of team rules, but in violation of your contract. You could be sued.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, the road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yep. On Sports Radio 92. Sports Radio 92 on the game from the Northern Kia Studios. On this hot Saturday, hot weekend. NFL underway today in a manner of speaking with the Ravens opening up their camp to their rookies. They are the first one. The first full camp will open up this coming Wednesday with the Houston Texans. They're playing in the reasons they're opening so early because we're going to get C.J. Stroud against Caleb Williams for about a hot minute in Canton in that Hall of Fame game, which is only 19 days away. And, of course, high school camps are about to open. College camps are about to open. And as they do, SEC Media Days are on Monday. Kirby Smart will be speaking on Tuesday. I can go down a list here a little bit later in the show with some of the other hot topics here of the SEC Media Days and not just Kirby Smart. But we are asking, you know, is the, maybe I'm making a bigger deal out of this, or I don't know that I am, because it's an ongoing problem here. How do you get a hold of this if you're Kirby Smart? How do you stop this from happening? And again, you're going to say, you could argue to me, and you may not be wrong, John, there are, you know, with all these, you know, all this NIL money and all this, you know, that's floating around now that's legal because it's the Wild Wild West, which it is, the Wild Wild West, Wild Wild West, is that, you know, you got to get a hold of it. And the only way to get a hold of it is to have a governing body. And right now there's no governing body. There's no governing body in college football. It's not the NCAA. They got no power. They get zero power. So they got to get a hold of this thing and come up with a new governing body. And that's where we're headed with all this, by the way. And there's another story about Florida State and its divorce from the ACC that's floating out there today as we get into ACC Media Days. This thing is just, Okay, you got to hold your breath if you're a college football fan. In a year where we're going to have a 12-team playoff. But how does Kirby Smart, how does he address this beyond just saying, I'm not going to talk about it? Because I think that's what he's going to say on Tuesday. I think he's going to go to Dallas, he's going to raise his hand, and he's just going to say, look, we're handling this internally. Is that good enough for you if you're a Georgia fan with the continuing and three more players this week involved in reckless driving incidents? Actually, four if you count a passenger. So I'm just kind of curious from a Georgia fan, do you think that this ongoing issue can be solved in any way? Do you think it's a distraction? Should Kirby lay the – what do you do here? I'm just kidding, because we're going to come out with the AP poll here, I think a week after next, and Georgia's going to be number one in the nation and may be close to unanimous. 404-726-0929. And also about the Hawks here, what did you make of the summer league debut of Zachary Risacher and Nico Juricic and – for that matter, Alex Saro, I thought looked like pretty damn good player for the Washington Wizards. Didn't surprise me. He can block shots. We knew that coming in. 404-726-0929 is the number. Let's go to Richard. He's on with John. Hey, Richard. Yo, Richard. Richard. Richard.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
I can now.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
All right. I'm a first-time caller from Louisiana. Been here 5 years now and listening to your radio station the first day I found it when I drove up here. And it's been a pleasure listening to all you guys. Y'all makes it feel like home, if that makes sense.
I guess. I mean, I've never lived in Louisiana by choice. I'll trust you.
I miss the food, my brother. That's it. I miss the food.
Well, I know, you know what? Hey, Richard, if you do, come up to you. What part of town do you live in?
I'm in Dawsonville.
You're in Dawsonville. Okay, so Highway 20, take Highway 20, go over to 75, right? And then come down, Highway 20 and shoot down, or 411, either one, and get to 75 and go south, go to Ackworth and go to Henry's. Because Henry Chandler is straight out of the Bayou, and his restaurant in Ackworth is stone cold legit, dude.
Well, I'm definitely going to try that out and appreciate that tip. Real quick, on the subject of Georgia Bulldogs and, you know, what's happening across basically all of college football. I'm a huge LSU fan, of course, but Georgia has always been my number two team. So life for me has been really good the last 5-6 years. To me, it boils down to consequences. There has to be consequences for actions that everybody does in life. You know, not just these football players, but in life, period. And I heard on the radio yesterday, they were saying, you know, they're going to have to throw somebody off the team, you know, who's the 53rd man or, you know, somebody low on the totem pole, because you'll never get rid of your star running back. And I'm like, well, then that solves zero problems for you. It has to be the same across the board for everyone. You're going to miss your star running back, but those are his consequences, and then that's your school's consequence for having him there, I guess, and not really knowing what he was or what have you not.
Well, there's no doubt that star players get different treatment than non-star players. Just the way life works. It's not nobody said life was fair, and as a result, star players do get treatment that non-star players don't. And that was proven this week at the Big 12 Media Days by Mike Gundy, the head coach at Oklahoma State, when he refused to kick his or penalize his star running back. And we'll get into that in just a moment. But, you know, I'm with you. I think that this will be really interesting, Richard, to see how Kirby Smart, does he dismiss the question at SEC Media Days? And he's had this before. And prior to SEC Media Days in the past, it wouldn't surprise me if he came out today or tomorrow and kind of publicly said something in order to get ahead of it, which he did before. He's done this, not the first time, where he got ahead of it and then was able to go out and he made a big statement about it, and then he could go to SEC Media Days and say, I made a statement about that on Sunday, asked and answered. I'm not talking about it. Let's move on to football. So It wouldn't surprise me if he did so again, and released a statement or went on camera, had an interview. And by the way, Coach Smart, if you're listening, you can call 404-726-0929, and I'll put you on the air here, and you can speak to everybody in the Southeast. We'll record it, and we'll send it out there, and you can say ask and answer. Just tell me why. What are you going to have to do to get a hold of this? How do you handle this? Is it unfair, Richard, to Georgia because Georgia's in a spotlight that nobody else is? And, hey, by the way, they're doing this, John, at Nebraska, at your school. They're doing it at USC. They're doing it at Texas Tech. They're doing it all over the place. It's Georgia, the only one that seems to be having any fingers pointed at it, but it's happening everywhere. It's happening at Florida. Nobody's saying anything about it. But the fact of the matter is, when you're the number one team in the nation and you had such a high publicity event as to have the double fatal the night of the celebration of the championship, yeah, sorry, that's just the way life is. Again, may not be fair, Richard, that Georgia's in that kind of spotlight, but when you're in the spotlight and you're standing in the middle of the stage, guess what? The light's on you.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, if you want to be the number one, then you have to act like it. You're going to be held to a higher standard, and we're not going to hear about something happening to ULL in Lafayette, Louisiana, or, you know, Georgia Tech. You're going to hear about it because you are the number one team. And if you're not prepared to be that, then I really don't know what to say to you.
Yep, I don't either. I do appreciate it. Thanks, Richard, for jumping in here. It's Henry's in Ackworth, Richard. Henry's, not Henry's, actually. He's Henry Chandler. And it is, look, I like to give the business to the folks down there in the swamp. We all know that. I mean, you know that, because it's the feud, right? I mean, but I ain't going to lie that their food isn't great, okay? I have to stay away from Henry's because it is legit. I mean, it's like, you know, you could slide that thing down into Bourbon Street and it would, yeah, I'd be like, oh, yeah, you got to go to Henry's. You know, I make stops down there in certain places that I love, you know, and I mean, you can go to all the, you know, the Paul Prudhomme's or the All Nolan's Cookery and all that kind of stuff. There's a couple of places that I don't talk about because I don't want anybody to go into them that are a little bit off the beaten path. Okay, that I like. But it would fit right in. I mean, there'd be nobody questioning the authenticity of this stuff. It's really, really good. All right. Anyway, I do want to bring Mike Gundy into this because it goes to Kirby Smart. So the SEC is going to have these media days. The Big 12 just completed its media days, and it was a wild affair in Las Vegas. A, it's in Las Vegas. B, they decided to get Tostino's, who makes the pizza rolls. They did this huge thing with all these athletes that went viral, burning their mouths on these pizza rolls, trying to figure out how to eat them without killing themselves, you know, shredding the, you know, the top of the roof of their mouth and everything. I mean, so it was kind of funny. It was really kind of clever. And then Mike Gundy stepped in front of the mic. Now, there's a running back named Ollie Gordon II. You may not have heard of him because he plays at Oklahoma State, which has a history of pretty good running backs. Guys like, I don't know, Thurman Thomas, and who is that Barry Sanders dude? Oh, yeah, Barry Sanders. So they've had a pretty darn good history of great running backs at Oklahoma State. Ollie Gordon is the next in line. He had over 1,700 yards rushing last year, 21 touchdowns, considered the best running back in the nation. He is the star player for Oklahoma State. And he got popped for DUI. Okay? He gets popped for DUI underage. He's 20. And so the media says to Mike Gundy, the head coach, hey, what's the penalty going to be for your superstar, first-team All-American running back, Ollie Gordon, for this underage DUI he got? And this is how Mike Gundy answered.
So I looked it up on my phone. What would be the legal limit? Like in Oklahoma is 0.08 and Ollie was 0.1. So I looked it up and it was based on body weight, not to get into the legal side of it, but I thought, really, two or three beers or four. I'm not justifying what Ollie did. I'm telling you what decision I made. Well, I thought I've probably done that 1,000 times in my life. And I, you know, it's just fine. So I got lucky. People get lucky. Ollie made a decision that he wished he could have done better.
Okay. Again, I refuse to be a hypocrite. Have I had in my past, I don't do it anymore. Well, right now I'm not driving at all. But I got to a point in my life where back in the day, okay, you have to understand, I want to stop right here and just explore this back in the day. Back in the late 1970s, when I was about 18, 19, 20 years old, you have to know the DUI was a ticket. It was a ticket. Just like speeding. It was a ticket. You got a ticket, you went to court, you paid the ticket. Now, I think the average first offense DUI, not hitting anybody, not hurting anybody, not doing any property damage, just getting pulled over by the police and being arrested for DUI and having your car towed is going to cost you between $15,000 and $20,000. That's not just the fine. It's not just the impound on your car. It's not just the time you missed at work. It's the insurance being jacked up for multiple years. So you, which wasn't true back in the day. It was a ticket. I mean, your insurance probably went up, but not like now, where it shoots through the roof, right? And not only that, you have a record and all that. I mean, it's much, much more difficult now, right? Much more, much, much worse. So, I mean, I never got a ticket for DUI. Did I probably have a little bit too much to drink when I was younger and drive? Yes. Did I stop doing that? Yes. Why? Because I don't want to pay $15,000. I don't want to hurt anybody else. I don't want to hurt anybody in my family, me, anybody else. So I don't drink and drive. I refuse. I just flat out refuse to drink and drive. And that doesn't make me better than anybody else. Of course, I'm not driving at all right now, but it doesn't make me better than you. Because, you know, we have a couple of beers and you go on, and that's what Mike Gundy's saying. However, there's a problem with what Mike Gundy said. A couple of beers, three or four, based on body weight, no big deal. Well, yeah, it is. It's a big deal because he got stopped. It's a big deal because he was over the legal limit, and it's a big deal because he was underage. And, oh, by the way, when Mike Gundy comes out and says, "That's not that big a deal, I probably did it 1,000 times. The coach just told you he drove legally drunk 1,000 times. I don't know about you, but that does not sound like I can tell you I did not drive legally drunk 1,000 times. The coach just said, if I'm the school president, I'm hauling him, you drove legally drunk 1,000 times or more and you admitted it in public? What the hell's going on here? If I'm his insurance company, I'm going, let's bring up the insurance of Mr. Mike Gundy here. What? What kind of an answer is that? And what kind of a precedent does it set? Well, here's what's the truth about the matter, okay? You have to understand, and this goes to the, well, I got to get to a break. I'm over. All right, I'll tell you what's really going on here, okay? It's not just that Mike Gundy is being, I don't care, is my star player. I'll tell you what's really going on because it goes to Georgia here in a moment. Quick break. When we're back, I'll explain what's really going on with Mike Gundy and why it applies to what's going on with Kirby Smart, okay? And we'll do that as we continue here, 404-726-0929. John Fricke with you on a Saturday morning, swinging into a Saturday afternoon on Sports Radio 92 on the Game. So you think you got the answer? I was just looking at this here. You know, we are 6 weeks away from Florida State, Georgia Tech. 6 weeks today. I know, I can do the summer countdown thing. But boy, it's really going to be so much fun from now until next February. We're going to have, you know, the NBA season cranking up, the NHL season. We got the Olympics. We've got the All-Star game next week. By the way, we also have the All-Star weekend starts, you should know this too, kind of starts tomorrow night. Because tomorrow night is going to be the Major League Draft. And it was kind of smart of Major League Baseball to put the draft and tie it to the All-Star Game as a kind of the kickoff event of the All-Star Weekend. And if Charlie Condon from Georgia goes number one, which he's believed to do, the slugging, you know, home run hitting record third baseman, if he goes to the Cleveland Guardians with the number one pick, Noel White, he will become... Georgia will then become only the third school. Get this. How about this first stat? Only the third school to have an athlete go number one overall in the NFL draft, the NBA draft, and the Major League draft.
Oh, wow.
There have only been two, and Georgia will become the third. And then if you had asked me that question and said, okay, what are the other two? I think I would have gotten one of them. The other one, I would never have gotten. I would have gone down like 50 schools before I got to it. I'm not going to ask you to guess. Because my guesses would have been LSU, which is correct, by the way. And then I would have said, well, Texas, no. Florida, no. Florida State, no. North Carolina, no. And you said, well, North Carolina. Remember, North Carolina had a pretty great baseball program, and obviously they produced some pretty good football players, Hall of Famers that came out of North Carolina. The answer is UCLA. I went, really?
Oh, wow.
That's interesting. I would not have gotten UCLA. USC, sure. UCLA? Well, of course, basketball. I mean, they had multiple number one overalls, right? At least three or four. Probably back to Lou Alcindor. And football, sure. Okay. I mean, Troy Aikman was the number one pick overall. Baseball, and then I went, well, where did Jackie Robinson went to UCLA, right? Oh, okay. All right. No, it wasn't Jackie Robinson. No, it was Garrett Cole. Okay, I wouldn't have gotten that one. I just wouldn't have gotten it. And then LSU, of course, you had, you know, number one overalls like Shaq and Maravich in basketball and a whole bunch in football, right? Most recently Joe Burrow, but a whole bunch, a number of them in football. And, of course, same in baseball, including Paul Skeens, who happens to be, like, destroying baseball right now. So that's just the way it kind of things. So Georgia becomes the third, of course, number one picks in the draft. And if you say number one picks in football, you know, Trayvon Walker just a couple of years back, right, number one pick overall in football. Somebody said to me, what about Herschel? Do you know Herschel was Kevin Butler, okay? Kevin Butler, the kicker of Georgia, was drafted before Herschel Walker. Herschel Walker was a fifth-round pick. Why? Because he was signing with the New Jersey Generals of the USFL. The Cowboys took him even though he wasn't going to be on their team just to hold his rights. So they took him in the fifth round. Would Herschel have been number one overall? Probably, but he chose to go to the USFL and not the NFL. And that was back in the days when, because the USFL, the New Jersey Generals were owned by Donald Trump, and Trump was offering Herschel a boatload of money, more than the NFL could offer at the time, to go. And so that's why Jim Kelly and Mike Rozier and Steve Young and Herschel Walker, they all went to the USFL because the USFL owners were offering so much money to try and make their league, kickstart their league. And so they were offering these huge contracts that the NFL at that time couldn't match. I know it doesn't seem right. This is the early 80s. It doesn't seem right today, does it? But that's the answer, of course. And, of course, Ant-Man in basketball. So, Georgia becomes only the third. 404-726-0929, and that'll be tomorrow night with the Major League Draft. We'll see what the Braves do as well. Let's go to a lot of you have been patient. I appreciate it. Scott is next. Hey, Scott, welcome to the show.
Hey, John. How are you doing today?
Good.
Good. I wanted to talk about the Georgia issue and approach this from, I'm an Auburn grad and alum and fan, so I don't have any Georgia loyalty or allegiance, but I have grown up here in Georgia and have lived here pretty much all my life. But I think we're asking the wrong questions at this point, because I think what we should be asking is, what should the university do at this point? Because I think it's crystal clear that Kirby has no clue how to address this. If he did, it would have been addressed long ago. And I wanted to bring up two things here. Does anyone remember Steve Sarkisian at USC? You were talking about Mike Gundy and the running back at Oklahoma State, I believe. But Steve Sarkisian had an alcohol problem, and he was an alcoholic, and he was fired from USC because of it. USC wouldn't put up with that. If you go back to when Mark Richt was in control, Georgia has always tended to have a problem with their players and having legal issues and arrest. I believe in one season he had double-digit arrest.
Well, all right, Scott,
arrest.
I got to say, stop. Scott,
well, it's
every
true.
School. Every school.
Okay,
it
but
just Georgia.
One season, Mark Richt had 11 players
school.
In the course of 8 months get arrested. That's a lot.
Scott, stop. Aaron Hernandez played at Florida. You know, I mean.
Okay. So, That's fine. That's a fact, though.
Just stop. It goes on every school. When you have that many athletes, every school, Auburn, every school's got their you know, every school's got it. Okay, so it's just right now we're talking about this in Georgia. Okay, right. So every school's got that. So, but here's what I want to ask you. Okay, because I actually want to make your point, and then I want to ask you a quick question.
Okay, my point is, I think that Kirby needs to be reprimanded here. The message needs to be sent that he needs to be suspended a couple games. whether that's three, whether that's four. I think the university needs to reprimand Kirby, not just the players. And I was leaning towards the players involved should get six-game suspension, but at this point I don't think that's good enough. Because if you're a player for Georgia or Auburn or any other school, it's a privilege, and it's not a ticket to die, whether that's the player or someone else, an innocent bystander that gets hurt in the process. So I think at this point, those players need to be off the team. And if it was my team, if it was Auburn, I would say the same thing. It's not a ticket to die, and you're playing with fire here when you're doing this. So that was my point.
I know. I appreciate it. Thanks, Scott, for the call. 404-726-0929. I understand where Scott's coming from, but I don't see it in the same way. I think what Mike Gundy said is kind of where Kirby's at. It's an acknowledgement of two facts that are true. I need all of you to understand that what Mike Gundy said, I'm not going to penalize Ollie Gordon II for two reasons. One, because I don't have to, because nobody is going to tell me I have to, because there is no governing body of college football right now. There's nobody in charge. We're in a transition Wild West era. This is why these collectives are going crazy. The NCAA, for whatever governing they had, whatever governing power they had over the major powers of college football, has none anymore. Zero. They don't have any. The NCAA is totally weak, muted, pointless. It's going to be incumbent upon college football. This is why I was pointing you to a story about Florida State and the divorce from the ACC that's ongoing right now. As soon as we get the grant of rights issue figured out in the ACC about how Florida State and Clemson and others break away and get out of this grant of rights, they got to break the grant of rights. Once the grant of rights in the ACC breaks, that's the dam that breaks everything wide open and allows the SEC, the ACC, the Big 12, the Big 10, all of these to reform into a new league. Right now they can't do it because the ACC is blocking it. It's Jim Phillips and the ACC that are getting in the way of Super Conference because of this grant of rights. Once that dam breaks, and it will break, it's a matter of time, it's a divorce, you can't stop it. Once that dam breaks, then we can get together, because what needs to happen is all these schools need to get together and say, okay, look, the Big Ten and the SEC, we're going to form a 70-team league, or something like that. We're going to rewrite all the television contracts. And by the way, we're all going to agree to a governing rule, a governing body set of rules on things like recruitment and the portal and how you pay players, because they want to get rid of the collectives. They want to get rid of the, how do you get rid of the collectives? You pay the players and then you put the players under contract and you negotiate with the players who are represented by athletes.org. And that's how you do that. It becomes a mini NFL. I don't want it to be a mini NFL. Okay, well, in the interim of not being a mini NFL, it's Wild West time. And so Mike Gundy is saying, nobody can make me penalize my running back. Because he's right. It's not like the NCAA would say, hey, we're going to hand down, Oklahoma State's going to go, we don't care what you think. Go away. They're just going to look at Indianapolis and thumb their nose. There's no power. The Big 12 is not going to do it, because what is the Big 12 going to do? Say to Oklahoma State, hey, listen, if you don't do it, what's Oklahoma State? Bye. We'll just transfer out of the conference. You come down on us. We'll leave. Oh, well, we kind of need you. All the power is now vested in the players and the schools, right? Individual schools. The players have all the power right now. This is the problem that Kirby's facing, is because of the transfer portal. Because if you do the wrong kind of penalty, the wrong kind of player, like to an Ollie Gordon, not only do you risk Ollie Gordon saying, yeah, I'm not going to accept that. I quit. I'm going somewhere else. Because there's no governing body to really kind of control the transfer portal and where you can go. There's no contracts. I could just, it's free agency unlimited. And if Ollie goes, he may have teammates who go, yeah, we're with Ollie. And suddenly you lose seven guys. And they're all going to, I don't know, they're going to OU or they're going to Kansas State. Yeah, we're just leaving. Who will give us a better deal and not going to penalize me? I won't penalize you up here. Whatever you did at Oklahoma State doesn't matter to me. The players have all the power. And Kirby's got to be careful, because when we talk about these players who have just been popped this week, when you're talking to a guy like, Munden and DeMelo Jones and See here, we have a five-star defensive back in Ellis Robinson, who had just happened to be in Bo Hewley's car. You start penalizing the wrong guys, you make guys mad, they'll leave. And they may take other guys with them. Oh, and by the way, they'll tell future recruits, be careful, if you make a mistake so much as to get a speeding ticket at Georgia, you're going to be kicked off the team. It's a really difficult balancing act. And you have to appreciate how tough that is. So I do appreciate how tough that is. That's why I say, what does he do to get a hold of this? It's not as simple as suspending players. And by the way, the university suspends Kirby Smart. Kirby Smart might say, if he gets mad enough, he might say, okay, well, bye. Provision in my contract that allows me to buy out of it. Bye. Anybody need a football coach? 404-726-09. Not that that would happen, but again, you've got to be very careful. And it's not unlike your workplace. You've got certain people have power at your workplace, and you got to be careful how you handle them. Do elite people and elite coaches and elite, yes. Do the best, yes. Because it's never, never what you're worth. It's only what you can negotiate. On Sports Radio, 90 Time the Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I was just looking at this here. You know, we are 6 weeks away from Florida State, Georgia Tech. 6 weeks today. I know, I can do the summer countdown thing. But boy, it's really going to be so much fun from now until next February. We're going to have, you know, the NBA season cranking up, the NHL season. We got the Olympics. We've got the All-Star game next week. By the way, we also have the All-Star weekend starts, you should know this too, kind of starts tomorrow night, because tomorrow night is going to be the Major League Draft. And it was kind of smart of Major League Baseball to put the draft and tie it to the All-Star game as a kind of the kickoff event of the All-Star weekend. And if Charlie Condon from Georgia goes number one, which he's believed to do, the slugging, you know, home run hitting record third baseman, if he goes to the Cleveland Guardians with the number one pick, Noel White, he will become, Georgia will then become only the third school, get this, how about this first stat, only the third school to have an athlete go number one overall in the NFL draft, the NBA draft, and the Major League Draft.
Oh, wow.
There have only been two, and Georgia would become the third. And then if you had asked me that question, and said, okay, what are the other two, I think I would have gotten one of them. The other one, I would never have gotten. I would have gone down like 50 schools before I got to it. I'm not going to ask you to guess. Because my guesses would have been LSU, which is correct, by the way. And then I would have said, well, Texas, no. Florida, no. Florida State, no. North Carolina, no. And you said, well, North Carolina. Remember, North Carolina had a pretty great baseball program, and obviously they produced some pretty good football players, Hall of Famers that came out of North Carolina. No, the answer is UCLA. I went, really?
Oh, wow.
That's interesting. I would not have gotten UCLA. USC, sure. UCLA? Well, of course, basketball. I mean, they had multiple number one overalls, right? At least three or four. Probably back to Lou Alcindor. And football, sure. Okay, I mean, Troy Aikman was the number one pick overall. Baseball, and then I went, well, where did Jackie Robinson went to UCLA, right? Oh, okay, all right. No, it wasn't Jackie Robinson. No, it was Garrett Cole. Okay, I wouldn't have gotten that one. I just wouldn't have gotten it. And then LSU, of course, you had, you know, number one overalls like Shaq and Maravich in basketball and a whole bunch in football, right? Most recently, Joe Burrow, but a whole bunch, a number of them in football. And, of course, same in baseball, including Paul Skeens, who happens to be, like, destroying baseball right now. So that's just the way it kind of things are. Yeah, so Georgia becomes the third, of course, number one picks in the draft. And if you say number one picks in football, you know, Trayvon Walker just a couple of years back, right, number one pick overall in football. Somebody said to me, what about Herschel? Do you know Herschel was a – Kevin Butler, okay? Kevin Butler, the kicker of Georgia, was drafted before Herschel Walker. Herschel Walker was a fifth-round pick. Why? Because he was signing with the New Jersey Generals of the USFL. The Cowboys took him even though he wasn't going to be on their team just to hold his rights. So they took him in the fifth round. Would Herschel have been number one overall? Probably, but he chose to go to the USFL and not the NFL. And that was back in the days when, because the USFL, the New Jersey Generals were owned by Donald Trump, and Trump was offering Herschel a boatload of money, more than the NFL could offer at the time, to go. And so that's why Jim Kelly and Mike Rozier and Steve Young and Herschel Walker, they all went to the USFL because the USFL owners were offering so much money to try and make their league, kickstart their league. And so they were offering these huge contracts that the NFL at that time couldn't match. I know it doesn't seem right. This is the early 80s. It doesn't seem right today, does it? But that's the answer, of course. And, of course, Ant-Man in basketball. So, yeah, Georgia becomes only the third. 404-726-0929, and that'll be tomorrow night with the Major League Draft. We'll see what the Braves do as well. Let's go to a lot of you have been patient. I appreciate it. Scott is next. Hey, Scott, welcome to the show.
Hey, John. How you doing today?
Good.
Good. I wanted to talk about the Georgia issue and approach this from – I'm an Auburn grad and alum and fan, so I don't have any Georgia loyalty or allegiance. But I have grown up here in Georgia and have lived here pretty much all my life. But I think we're asking the wrong questions at this point, because I think what we should be asking is – what should the university do at this point? Because I think it's crystal clear that Kirby has no clue how to address this. If he did, it would have been addressed long ago. And I wanted to bring up two things here. Does anyone remember Steve Sarkisian at USC? You were talking about Mike Gundy and the running back at Oklahoma State, I believe. But Steve Sarkisian had an alcohol problem. And he was an alcoholic, and he was fired from USC because of it. USC wouldn't put up with that. And also, if you go back, you know, if you go back to when Mark Richt was in control, Georgia has always tended to have a problem with their players and having legal issues and arrest. I believe in one season he had double-digit arrest.
Well, all right,
arrest.
Scott, I got to say, stop. Scott,
well, it's
every
true.
School. Every school.
Okay,
it
but
just Georgia.
One season, Mark Richt had 11 players school. In the course of 8 months get arrested. That's a lot.
Scott, stop. Aaron Hernandez played at Florida. You know, I mean.
Okay. That's fine. That's a fact, though.
Just
stop.
It goes on every school. When you have that many athletes, every school, Auburn, every school's got their you know. Every school's got it, okay? So it's just right now we're talking about this
fine.
In Georgia.
That's fine.
But, okay, right, so every school's got that. Right, but here's what I want to ask you, okay? Because I actually want to make your point, and then I want to ask you a quick question.
Okay, my point is I think that Kirby needs to be reprimanded here. The message needs to be sent that he needs to be suspended a couple games, whether that's three, whether that's four. I think the university needs to reprimand Kirby, not just the players. And I was leaning towards the players involved should get 6-game suspension. But at this point, I don't think that's good enough. Because if you're a player for Georgia or Auburn or any other school, it's a privilege. And it's not a ticket to die, whether that's the player or someone else
evict an innocent bystander that gets hurt in the process. So I think at this point, those players need to be off the team. And if it was my team, if it was Auburn, I would say the same thing. It's not a ticket to die, and you're playing with fire here when you're doing this. That was my point.
I know. I appreciate it. Thanks, Scott, for the call. 404-726-0929. I understand where Scott's coming from, but I don't see it in the same way. I think what Mike Gundy said is kind of where Kirby's at. It's an acknowledgement of two facts that are true. I need all of you to understand that what Mike Gundy said, I'm not going to penalize Ollie Gordon II for two reasons. One, because I don't have to, because nobody is going to tell me I have to, because there is no governing body of college football right now. There's nobody in charge. We're in a transition Wild West era. This is why these collectives are going crazy. The NCAA, for whatever governing they had, whatever governing power they had over the major powers of college football, has none anymore. Zero. They don't have any. The NCAA is totally weak, muted, pointless. It's going to be incumbent upon college football. This is why I was pointing you to a story about Florida State and the divorce from the ACC that's ongoing right now. As soon as we get the grant of rights issue figured out in the ACC about how Florida State and Clemson and others break away and get out of this grant of rights, they got to break the grant of rights. Once the grant of rights in the ACC breaks, that's the dam that breaks everything wide open and allows the SEC, the ACC, the Big 12, the Big 10, all of these to reform into a new league. Right now they can't do it because the ACC is blocking it. It's Jim Phillips and the ACC that are getting in the way of Super Conference because of this grant of rights. Once that dam breaks, and it will break, it's a matter of time, it's a divorce, you can't stop it. Once that dam breaks, then we can get together, because what needs to happen is all these schools need to get together and say, okay, look, the Big Ten and the SEC, we're going to form a 70-team league, or something like that. We're going to rewrite all the television contracts. And by the way, we're all going to agree to a governing rule, a governing body set of rules on things like recruitment and the portal and how you pay players, because they want to get rid of the collectives. They want to get rid of the, how do you get rid of the collectives? You pay the players and then you put the players under contract and you negotiate with the players who are represented by athletes.org. And that's how you do that. It becomes a mini NFL. I don't want it to be a mini NFL. Okay, well, in the interim of not being a mini NFL, it's Wild West time. And so Mike Gundy is saying, nobody can make me penalize my running back. Because he's right. It's not like the NCAA would say, hey, we're going to hand down, Oklahoma State's going to go, we don't care what you think. Go away. They're just going to look at Indianapolis and thumb their nose. There's no power. The Big 12 is not going to do it, because what is the Big 12 going to do? Say to Oklahoma State, hey, listen, if you don't do it, what's Oklahoma State? Bye. We'll just transfer out of the conference. You come down on us. We'll leave. Oh, well, we kind of need you. All the power is now vested in the players and the schools, right? Individual schools. The players have all the power right now. This is the problem that Kirby's facing, is because of the transfer portal. Because if you do the wrong kind of penalty, the wrong kind of player, like to an Ollie Gordon, not only do you risk Ollie Gordon saying, yeah, I'm not going to accept that. I quit. I'm going somewhere else. Because there's no governing body to really kind of control the transfer portal and where you can go. There's no contracts. I could just, it's free agency unlimited. And if Ollie goes, he may have teammates who go, yeah, we're with Ollie. And suddenly you lose seven guys. And they're all going to, I don't know, they're going to OU or they're going to Kansas State. Yeah, we're just leaving. Who will give us a better deal and not going to penalize me? I won't penalize you up here. Whatever you did at Oklahoma State doesn't matter to me. The players have all the power. And Kirby's got to be careful, because when we talk about these players who have just been popped this week, when you're talking to a guy like, Munden and DeMelo Jones and a five-star defensive back in Ellis Robinson, who had just happened to be in Bo Hewley's car. You start penalizing the wrong guys, you make guys mad, they'll leave. And they may take other guys with them. Oh, and by the way, they'll tell future recruits, be careful, if you make a mistake so much as to get a speeding ticket at Georgia, you're going to be kicked off the team. It's a really difficult balancing act. And you have to appreciate how tough that is. So I do appreciate how tough that is. That's why I say, what does he do to get a hold of this? It's not as simple as suspending players. And by the way, the university suspends Kirby Smart. Kirby Smart might say, if he gets mad enough, he might say, okay, well, bye. Provision in my contract that allows me to buy out of it. Bye. Anybody need a football coach? 404-726-0. Not that that would happen, but again, you've got to be very careful. And it's not unlike your workplace. You've got certain people have power at your workplace, and you got to be careful how you handle them. Do elite people and elite coaches and elite, yes. Do the best, yes. Because it's never, never what you're worth. It's only what you can negotiate. On Sports Radio, 90 Time the Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.